You're a Jags fan, you're an NFL fan, and it's simple. You're looking for the best Jacksonville Jaguar content, and it's right here on the Pooji Podcast. Subscribe to the channel, like the video, tell your friends and family. Let's go. What is he doing? Nah, bro, I think he's legit. You just can't do that in that situation. Nah, you couldn't be more wrong. Yeah, I could agree with that. This is the Pooji Podcast. What is going on, Pooj crew? Thank you for being here for episode 151 of the Pooji Podcast. Hope you're all enjoying your week. Fun, quick episode for you today. Going to recap the Jaguars versus Chiefs divisional round game in the NFL playoffs. Not look ahead to a Jags game. Unfortunately, they lost, but we'll look elsewhere in the NFL at the conference championship games and recap the divisional games that just happened as well this past weekend. But want to welcome Kyle onto the podcast. Appreciate you being here, man.
Of course. Of course. You know, the magic has run out, sadly, but still a good season nonetheless. Looking forward to, you know, chatting about it. And then, of course, getting to some things down the road in the offseason and seeing where this team goes next year.
Yeah. Magic's run out, you know, seven straight wins to get to this point. Team that was, what, 3-7? Was it seven straight wins or six straight wins? We sat at 3-7. We sat at 4-8. We finished the season 10-9. So yeah, I guess six straight wins to close out the season, get us to the divisional round, and obviously fall short to the NFL giants. That is the Kansas City Chiefs, led by Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and so many other playmakers on that team. Kyle, 27-20, Jaguars fall in Arrowhead in this one. Obviously a lot to be optimistic about. Not really fun talking about a loss, but I feel like it is quite different talking about a loss in the playoffs.
Certainly. I mean, especially when you go up with a team that's been to, what is this, their fourth straight AFC championship or something like that? Fifth straight
home AFC championship.
Yeah. So you're playing on the road against Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, a great coach. To lose by seven, that's not the end of the world, especially a team that, you know, wasn't supposed to be there at least 12 weeks through the season. It wasn't looking like it. So, looking at the score, it looks like a close game. You look at the stats, very, very close, just very unfortunate timing for some turnovers. Things I've been saying, I feel like all year, you know, it sounds like an old man yelling at clouds, but the fumble's got to stop. It's just, you can't have it. He wasn't even touched and he fumbled that ball at the end zone. And, you know, you don't want to put it on one player, one play, but tough to stomach that. When we were driving, it seemed like we were in the groove. Just the story of our season, really. Fumbles, turnovers at inopportune times, that stuff gets eliminated and you become a great team in this league.
And, you know, what's wild is we lost to this same Chiefs team back in week 11, I guess it was, week 12, maybe week 10, right before our bye week, actually, to fall to 3-7. Ironically enough, one of our last losses before the win streak, right before that Lions loss a few weeks later. We lost by 10 that week, 27-17. And in that game, it felt like we had all the breaks go our way. We had +3 turnover margin. You know, we had the onside kick recovered at the beginning of the game, and you lose by 10. And then you go into this game, you lose by 7. And I'm looking over here because I have the game on, just kind of watching it. But you lose by 7 in a game that it felt like you threw it away. Your own mistakes kind of caused you to lose that game. But to lose by 7 to the Chiefs, obviously it's you know, you don't want to look for silver linings in a loss. That's never necessarily what you want to do. But I do think it's important for how young this team is to get this type of experience going to Arrowhead, because if we're thinking bullishly, we'd like to think that's not going to be our last matchup against the Chiefs in the playoffs. So having this experience in Arrowhead, whether they're in Jacksonville or we go to Kansas City, I'd like to think Patrick Mahomes versus Trevor Lawrence is a matchup that we will be seeing for a long time coming.
Yeah, certainly. And you see it around the league with the other quarterbacks. Everybody's kind of, it said like, what, the year the young guys, or, you know, it's like our turn now type thing. You got Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, of course, kind of a tough end of the season for him, but another young guy, Justin Herbert, in the mix. So future's looking bright. Josh Allen, of course, future's looking bright in the AFC. A lot of these guys are probably going to meet again in the playoffs. Would love another crack at the Chiefs. They're certainly beatable. Yeah. Certainly feel for Mahomes getting hurt, but that's just another kind of example where when that happens, you got to take advantage. You don't root for injuries, but hey, when the breaks go that way, you got to take advantage. Instead, we did the exact opposite. we pinned Chad Henne down on the 2 yard line and he went 98 yards. So
yeah,
just a tough
frustrating way to go about losing the game. You know, the 98 yard drive by Chad Henne, a lot of people are talking about it. 15 yard roughing the passer penalty called on that drive. Ticky tack call wasn't necessarily consistent, not called against Trevor Lawrence.
Same exact play happened to Trevor Lawrence later in the game. Almost the exact same situation.
Some home cooking there in Kansas City. And obviously you can pin a lot on the team and you can point out, you know, the refs missing calls or calling ticky tack stuff, the Walker little tripping penalty because he got pancaked and his feet flew in the air and he happened to trip the defensive end. Like, you know, things like that, that just don't get called the entire season, getting called because the game is close and you kind of felt the home cooking kind of start to dig in. But the team stayed close nonetheless. And you talk about the youthfulness at quarterback. I feel like we're kind of hitting a transition in the NFL right now where there was a time where it was, you know, Drew Brees and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and kind of these like, you know, 29, 30 year plus quarterbacks making these deep runs. Now entering the divisional round, Dak Prescott was the oldest quarterback. He was born in 1993. So he was like 27 years old. Now we're in the conference championship. And I'm pretty sure the oldest quarterback entering the conference championship right now is Patrick Mahomes. He's like 24. So you have Mahomes, you have Joe Burrow, you have Brock Purdy, and you have Jalen Hurts. So the league is transitioning, which makes me feel good as a Jags fan, knowing we have one of those young, up-and-coming superstar quarterbacks that can get the job done, hopefully, for years on end for us. But let's dive a little bit deeper into this game, Kyle. What did you see from the Jags offensively, defensively, just overall? You know, I know you touched on the penalties a little bit and the fumbles as well. But what did you see, the fight from this team, the lapses in this team? Where did this game necessarily go right or go wrong for the Jags?
For sure, for sure. And just real quick for the fact checkers that are listening, Mahomes is 27, not quite 24, but still relatively young. I think everybody else is more in that 24 range that made the playoffs. But yeah, to answer the question, we didn't give up. That was evident in the Chargers game. Going into this game, like you mentioned, a couple calls not going our way. Really not. It was just a couple calls, really. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say it was totally unfair how it was ref. They got a couple penalties too. So, but to not let that rock us to, you know, even when we got the ball back after the fumble, we had a couple plays. It looked like we were going to move the ball. Unfortunately, Trevor Lawrence threw an interception. It was really a great play by the defender. At that point, you know, the game, we kind of had to be throwing the ball. We didn't have a choice. So we had to make some forced throws. But to hold Patrick Mahomes at 27 points, I think you take that all day long if you can hold that offense. One thing that is frustrating that was very, very obvious, even in the first quarter, was we did not really have a plan for Travis Kelce. He didn't eclipse 100 yards, which is kind of interesting for having 14 receptions. So it wasn't like he was having, you know, flipping the field type receptions, but, you know, it was a third down play. It was the second and seven that was just going to be a first down, kind of kept the chains moving. So a little frustrating to see that, the fact that we didn't even try to double team, didn't even try to, you know, put you put a linebacker on Kelce, he can beat you with speed. You put a cornerback on Kelce, he can beat you with size. So I figure there has to be a plan in there somewhere. So that was the only thing that stuck out as far as what I feel were maybe a negative in this game, but you know, everything else was good. Like I said, the yards were the same. We only had three less first downs. So we were moving the ball down the field. It was just the two turnovers. And then that long drive really seemed to kind of be a killer. Cause you think, okay, we can get a stop, we can get good field position, but the opposite happened.
Yeah, it was 17-10 at that point, I believe. And we had just gotten the ball back. We obviously had to punt it back and, you know, we had an opportunity for Foye Oluokun almost with an interception over the middle. Had he not touched it, it looked like Tyson Campbell could have intercepted it. We would have been in the plus territory right around the 30. If Tyson Campbell caught it, could have been a pick six very easily. Few things broke the Chiefs' way. That happens in these types of games. But ultimately, that long touchdown drive, Isaiah Pacheco, 39-yard run.
He's right? A hard runner.
Hard runner, 39-yard run. 15-yard penalty. That's over 50% of the yards on that one drive for the Kansas City Chiefs. And Isaiah Pacheco, outside of that run, he had 11 carries for right around 55 yards. And outside of that run, the team would not have eclipsed 100 yards rushing. and Travis Kelce with 14 catches on 17 targets. Their next leading receiver, Kadarius Toney, with 5 catches for 36 yards. So all in all, the Jaguars played the more balanced football game. Unfortunately, it was death by a million paper cuts brought on by the Kansas City Chiefs, where, like you mentioned, the inopportune completions on third down to Travis Kelce. But that's what makes the Chiefs so good, is they don't necessarily have to go for the home run play every single time. They pick up the first downs, they respond to the game flow, and they're able to keep the ball moving. They had some very, very long drives, and I would have to look at the drive chart. But what was happening was they were keeping Trevor Lawrence off the field, and they were capitalizing on long drives with touchdowns and field goals, which we've seen from the Jaguars defense in the past. That has happened, and then we've been able to kind of hold them right around the 30, force them back maybe, and hold them to a punt. In this case, too much to overcome from the Kansas City Chiefs. And I don't necessarily think there was that much of a talent disparity, which is kind of inspiring if you're a Jags fan. I think what it came down to was experience from the coaching staff, and obviously Doug Peterson has a Super Bowl, but Andy Reid, his experience coaching in the playoffs with this specific team in the Kansas City Chiefs, obviously no Tyreek Hill. They have not missed a step, and I think that's where the Jaguars ultimately lost this game.
For sure. And just to piggyback on what you said about the drives, the Jags had 0 drives with double-digit plays. The Chiefs had 4. They had a 12-play drive, 11-play drive, 12-play drive, 10-play drive, all resulting in points, 3 touchdowns and a field goal. So that just goes to show you, kind of like what you said, milking the clock, getting points out of it too, not really giving us a chance. One thing I will say that I noticed that was extremely, extremely frustrating, the first play after Mahomes went out, so obvious that he was hurt. He could barely walk. He could barely stand. It was the most obvious running down that I've ever seen. It was 2nd and 7. No reason why we shouldn't have had 7 or 8 guys just stacked at the line of scrimmage. I think they maybe had 2 wide receivers plus Travis Kelce. Not a chance he was going to be able to drop back. It was going to be a run. It was a run. He got like 6.5 yards to 3rd and inches. Very next play, QB sneak with Patrick Mahomes, first down. I think that was a big momentum swing for Mahomes there and for the Chiefs on that drive. The fact that, you know, we couldn't get a stuff and force 3rd and 7 where it would maybe be a more passing situation and really make.
Kyle, I think your audio went out. Can you hear me? I think your audio went out there, but I will just say this real quick while we get your audio back up and running. The Chiefs opened the game with 3 straight drives of at least averaging 6 minutes. 6 minutes, 5 minutes and 55 seconds, and then 6 minutes and 5 seconds. Touchdown, field goal, touchdown. After that, the Chiefs had 2 drives to open the second half and had 2 punts, and the Jaguars responded with 2 punts of their own. So there was no way that they were taking advantage of the Chiefs not being able to move the ball. The Jaguars, Chiefs coming out of halftime, started with the ball 6 plays, 3 minutes, 13 total yards and a punt. Jags get the ball back 7 plays, 25 yards, punt. Chiefs get the ball back 2 minutes, punt. Jags get the ball, punt, and then back to Chiefs for a field goal, and then Jags touchdown, Chiefs touchdown. So when you have a team like the Chiefs that are so explosive on offense, you really have to take advantage of them not converting even a field goal on a drive, because that's just as good as a turnover when you're playing the Chiefs. Getting them to punt, not having them score, is a net positive for your team. And if you're not able to score and take advantage of those punts, you're not going to be able to catch up to them, because they are going to eventually put things together and get the ball back and go down and score. Kyle, do we got your audio back? I'm still not hearing you. No, you're good. How about you leave the studio, come back in and see if it works, and I'll kind of take it from here. Sorry, folks listening, watching on YouTube. Kyle's having some audio issues over there, so I'll take it from here. Ultimately, this is a Jags team that 1 year into the rebuild from the Urban Meyer era, Trevor Lawrence, first year in the system with Mike McCoy on the offensive play calling, with Doug Peterson on the offensive play calling. You have 3 new receivers for the most part with Zay Jones. You have Christian Kirk and then Evan Ingram all working in the system for the first time. And let's be real, Travis Etienne, first year in the league, considering he missed last year as well with his leg injury that sidelined him from week 1 and on. So you had a full offensive scheme that was implemented this season that had 1 year to kind of get accustomed to what they were doing. And the Jaguars were able to take all of that and kind of make it into the AFC playoffs, into the divisional round, which is pretty impressive. It's inspiring for what the future has to hold. So definitely a lot to look forward to if you're the Jaguars with this young team, this young coaching staff, first year in the system. But okay, it looks like we have Kyle back. Kyle, your audio good? Checks out?
Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, I got you. Okay, we're back.
Okay, sorry about that. And I'll just finish my thought. I don't know the last thing you heard, but was basically just saying Mahomes getting hurt and then coming back in, them almost getting a first down on a very obvious running play that I feel like we did not do a good job defending. Mahomes got the first down on a third and short QB sneak. I think that was huge for the team's momentum, not having the punt there. Just kind of frustrating that the defense or the coaching staff didn't really kind of stack the for the run there, because if you stop him, then you force a third and seven, the second play after he's hurt, and make him have to throw, I think maybe we get a stop.
Yeah, no, and that's spot on. And to that point, it felt like there were probably three or four times in the game, even when the Jags were down 17-7 or 17-10, whatever it was, it felt like there were turning points in the game that had the Jags just been able to grasp one of them and get over that hill on one of them, whether it was stopping them on that drive, stopping them on the 98-yard drive with an interception or a punt, or you know, the Agnew fumble like we talked about scoring there. It seemed like there were multiple times in the game, and I think everyone listening to this would agree that it never felt like the Jags were dead in the water. It felt like there were always times where, okay, one big play here, a touchdown here, a big defensive stand here, and then we just couldn't capitalize. And I think during the win streak that the Jaguars had, you saw one side of the ball feeding off of the other side of the ball, and we unfortunately just did not get that in this game.
Yep. Spot on. And I mean, that does tend to happen when you're playing a superior team. I mean, they either don't make mistakes or they will make a mistake, but then they'll get it right back and don't let it cost them the game. So,
yeah. But Jags get the ball back down 27-17, obviously marching down the field, looking like they're about to go in. Trevor Lawrence put the team on his back at a bunch of points in this game. One of them being that first down run he had where he barreled over the defender on the Chiefs, the safety on the Chiefs, and got the first down, got them inside the 15-yard line. Next play, actually it was inside the 10-yard line. Next play, obviously the pass to Agnew. Heartbreaking play. I refuse to believe, even in that moment, that was how the season was going to end, was an Agnew fumble after all he's done for us in the special teams game, averaging over 40 yards a return in this game, put the team in position to succeed from the special team standpoint. And we talked about it with Agnew last episode, that he's one of the few players in the league that actually has the ability consistently to break games open or change momentum from his kick return ability. And that kind of was apparent in this game against the Chiefs.
Certainly. And it sucks to see, because he's well-liked in Jacksonville. He does anything that the team asks him. He comes in as the running back. He'll line up at receiver. Of course, great return. So, you know, frustrating to see a great player that's loved, you know, kind of happen like that. I'm sure he took it pretty hard. I'm sure he feels like he cost the game. And, you know, it's a team game, though, just like Lawrence last game. The rest of the team picked him up. It doesn't fall on one man's shoulder. So definitely sad to see. For a moment there, I thought maybe we get a review and an overturn. Sometimes those plays will, you know, look like a catch and then they reverse it or whatever. But I do agree it was a fumble. Just a shame that it went down like that.
If that same play happens in the end zone, do you think it's the same call on the field, or do you think it's an incomplete pass?
I honestly don't even know how the rules work anymore with completed catches and in the end zone. So I don't know.
I asked that question because we've seen times happen in the end zone where that same play happens and they call it an incomplete pass. Unfortunately, obviously, this was on like the 3-yard line, 4-yard line. I tweeted out, I said, I'd like to think that there's an alternate universe where, you know, Agnew catches that, next plays a flat route to the outside to Christian Kirk to the pylon, like we've seen multiple times before. Defense makes a stop. Jags get the ball. Trevor Lawrence marches them down for the game-winning touchdown. So it's an alternate universe, but you know, reality is the Jags fall short 27-20 to the Chiefs. A lot of missed opportunities. The Christian Kirk missed ball, 60-yard bomb from Trevor Lawrence. Another brutal, huge turning point in the game as well there, right?
Brutal. Yep, you got to have that.
You can't make those mistakes, and you're going up against the Chiefs. You're in the divisional round, final four of the AFC. you're going up against a team that's likely not going to make any mistakes, and it felt like the Jaguars made at least six or seven. And all said and done, Jaguars, do you know what the penalty discrepancy was in this game, Kyle?
I do. 5 for 40 and 2 for 20 for them? 3 for 30 for them?
16 penalties were called on the Jaguars in this game.
Then how do we only have 5 penalties accepted?
I don't know. 16 penalties were called on the Jaguars compared to 2 for the Chiefs. So
are you sure on that? Because I saw that stat, but I mean, unless so there is 11 either declined or I don't know. I don't know if that's a correct stat or not.
I mean, I'll have to go back and look. That's the stat that I saw. 8-1 seems a little lofty to me. But it stat I saw, but nonetheless, the accepted penalties, the discrepancies not there. The timing of the penalties is kind of what hurts the most. A lot of them extended drives or killed drives going against us. So obviously frustrating in that regard, but I don't necessarily pin this on Agnew. It's easy to get frustrated in the moment and be upset about that fumble and think about what could have been cutting it to a 3-point lead with Mahomes kind of banged up and injured. Was the defense going to be ready to adjust and stop him? Hell, we could have scored there to make it 27-24. The Chiefs could have held the ball the rest of the game. You know, who knows how it ends? That's equally as likely of a scenario. So there's no, you know, shoulda, coulda, wouldas, of course. But it's obviously detrimental to the team when mistakes like that happen at key points of the game. But, you know, team led the league in dropped passes, and unfortunately this dropped pass was ruled a fumble. Went straight to commercial right after, first of all, didn't even get to see a replay, and we come back and the Chiefs are lining up on offense. So kind of unfortunate there to see it go down like that. But Kyle, anything else from you in this Chiefs Jags game?
No, looking forward to the offseason, seeing what we can kind of, you know, add. We get Calvin Ridley, obviously. Certainly need to get some more offensive line help. I think our offensive line did pretty good this year, but we've just had some injuries down the stretch. Defense looks good. It is disappointing we couldn't get after Patrick Mahomes. Granted, he is a great quarterback. He can evade the pressure, and he can let go of the ball when he needs to. But even when he had the hurt leg, zero sacks on him. We did have a handful of pressures, but on a couple of those pressures, he converted on first down, and on one of them, he threw that touchdown to MVS, I believe it was.
Yeah, back of the end zone to MVS was a big touchdown there for them. That was noticeable as well. Their defensive line kind of getting some more pressure all over the pocket. Our defensive line was kind of shut out of this game. Really helped not only Mahomes stay upright once the injury happened, but also helped Henny kind of game manage once he had to come in. But Jaguars defensive line, we need a stud on the defensive line that can rush the passer. The Jaguars have a handful of double digit sack guys in the team history. I think only 5 times in team history have the Jags had a double digit sack player in a season, and that's over 28 seasons. And ironically enough, a team like the Philadelphia Eagles, who are currently still playing, they had 4 guys accomplish that alone this year. Mm-hmm. That tells you how important it is to have dogs up front on the defensive line. I think that was the biggest takeaway for me too, was the lack of pressure and the lack of play calling defensively. Once the injury happened, they didn't send as much pressure.
You need to be blitzing almost every play, at least in that first drive too, that he got back.
Yeah, just like to me. Remember the Titans blitz all night. That's kind of the route we should have gone. And it seemed like we kind of, you know, backed away and wanted him to throw, thinking his power wasn't going to be there, which we saw at times. It's almost like Mike Caldwell was forcing him to throw the ball, thinking we could maybe get a cheap pick here or there because he didn't have as much zip on the ball. So, but you know, no excuses there. You got to blitz an immobile quarterback. You see that happen against other guys in the league that are immobile. So
or just cover Kelsey. I mean, it works if you want to make him throw, if you have man on man, but if the closest defender is like 4 yards away, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, not ideal there, leaving Travis Kelsey open for 17 targets. Like, that is absurd. 14 catches, 98 yards and 2 touchdowns. Before the game, I said 8 catches for 140 yards and 2 touchdowns. I was a little high on the yardage, a little low on the receptions, but nonetheless, 2 touchdowns was the deal breaker in this one. But the Chiefs move on. Jaguars offseason outlook, Kyle. I know you talked about wanting to add some players. Trent Baalke, Doug Peterson, they talked in their postseason recap. You know, this is not going to be the same offseason as it was last year. Last year, Jaguars went out and threw $300 million worth of contracts at players like Christian Kirk and Zay Jones and Evan Engram. This year, and Foye Oluokun, and Foley Fatukasi, who hasn't been able to play for a while, they threw a bunch of money out there to build the foundation of this roster. Jaguars are now in a situation to where they need to fortify what they have built and just add pieces, extra secondary pieces here and there to complement the depth, to complement some positions of weakness. Defensive line, I think, first and foremost, is the weakest spot. DeJuan Smoot was not in the games for the final month and a half of the season, and it finally caught up to us. So, Kyle, offseason outlook for you, though.
Yeah, so, I mean, like you said, obviously it sounds like we have the offense around Trevor Lawrence. I don't know why we're not using Snoop Connor. Etienne's been great. Hasty's been good. Agnew, but maybe we want to get another running back, someone that can come in on third down or something, but not sure that's where we need to necessarily start. On offense, I think just the offensive line. On defense, I think if you get, like you mentioned, a strong kind of outside linebacker, edge, or middle, somebody in the middle line, maybe just for a 1 or 2 year deal, somebody that's maybe a veteran player, been in the league and is coming off a contract, and we can get them for a year or two, just kind of build that. Josh Allen's great, though. I'm not worried necessarily about some of the line. I think Josh Allen's been a great leader. Secondary, though, some holes in it, some good things, some bad things this year. So I think just some more cohesiveness playing together will be okay.
I think Jamichael Hasty also played himself into being a part of this team for the future. Yes. Travis Etienne, I don't think, had a snap in the fourth quarter, which is kind of interesting. They had mentioned Jamichael Hasty was in because he's better in pass protection. However, I think, Travis Etienne's a playmaker, and he's got to be on the field, especially in these types of games, just because you get the ball in his hands, he's explosive. But you got to lock up Evan Engram for the future. Arden Key would be great to bring back at a reasonable price. So a lot of things to look for this offseason for the Jags. But Kyle, let's look ahead to the conference championship. Thoughts on the divisional round? We had four pretty solid games, not as great as Wild Card Weekend. I think Jags Chiefs was probably the most entertaining of the four games from the divisional round. But nonetheless, the 49ers, Eagles, Bengals, and Chiefs all advance. But thoughts on the divisional round and looking ahead to the conference championship?
Yeah, we both went 1-3 with our picks. Obviously, both picking the Jags, more of a homer pick. But I went with the Cowboys. That was embarrassing. You went with the Giants. They got smoked. So we didn't do great on our picks. Not a lot of close games to talk about. The Jags-Chiefs was the closest game. What was the score of the Niners-Cowboys game again?
I think it was like 19-12 or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds right. You said 17-13 49ers, so you were pretty close on that. You had the right idea with the low scoring game. The ugly game that was. I mean, Cowboys fans should be in shambles right now, which is weird to say that they're a playoff team and making the playoffs the last, whatever years it's been, but they should be in shambles. That team looks really bad. I don't know what direction they go after that. That last play of the game was kind of a microcosm of the season, it seemed like, with the turnover, some of the bad decision-making, some of the bad losses, the ugly games, et cetera. That was weird.
What's embarrassing to me is, for the Cowboys, is when you look at the roster compared to the 49ers, you have Christian McCaffrey on the Niners, you have Tony Pollard and Zeke Elliott. Obviously, Tony Pollard out with injury midway through the game. Then you have CeeDee Lamb on the Cowboys, you have Deebo Samuel on the 49ers, Noah Brown, and then you have Brandon Ayuk, Dalton Schultz, George Kittle. When you look everywhere, the rosters are pretty similar. But when the disparity is at quarterback, when the 49ers have Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy, who is outplaying Dak Prescott, who is supposed to be the superstar in the league, that's where, if I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm concerned, because that the reason you lost the game is not because of anything other than the fact that your superstar quarterback is underperforming time and time again in big moments. Dak Prescott is not getting the job done in Dallas.
It's brutal. I mean, they paid him all that money. Did they sign Zeke too to a contract, right?
I think Zeke's actually a free agent this year.
Okay, never mind. I was going to say, because Pollard's clearly the best one on the team right now, and he's supposed to be the backup running back. So, well said. It falls on Dak's shoulders. Should have had some interceptions there at the end of the game, but that should have been a pick six. So, I don't know, but I am looking forward to this weekend. I do think that the Bengals probably shut a lot of people up beating the Bills. A lot of people had the Bills going to the Super Bowl. Not really any disrespect to the Bengals. Joe Cool and that team is awesome, but it just seemed like nobody was going to really beat the Bills, at least to the AFC Championship. They go home early. You got the...
Well, real quick on that. What's interesting is the Bengals started the season so slow. I mean, I remember because I said it, I was selling the Bengals back in like week 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. And they started so slow this year, and it was like the Super Bowl hangover is legit. They're not the same team. Joe Burrow is not the same guy. The offensive line still sucks. And then they hit a second gear. They hit a third gear. Hell, they hit a fourth gear, and they just turned it on, and they have dominated since about October, mid-October to early November. They've been one of the most dominant teams in the league. But what's interesting is the Bills have pretty much been the same team from start to finish of the year, and it proved to finally catch up to them. They were playing a team that hit those next gears, and it never seemed like at any point of the season the Bills were able to hit that next gear. There were some games throughout the season where it felt like the Bills were underperforming even when they were winning, and mm-hmm. the Bengals finally were able to kind of close the door on those Bills chances, and it makes you wonder, like, what is the Bills window? Because we're talking about, you know, the Vikings not being able to win, the Cowboys not being able to win in big moments. Are the Bills slowly inching towards that same tier of teams that are not able to close in big moments?
Yeah, I mean, history would show that for the Bills, right? They thought maybe it was a new era with this, you know, season and the players they have on their team and the excitement, but I don't think it's over. I think Josh Allen's awesome. I think they got a good culture there in Buffalo, a good supporting, you know, team and fans. So I don't think that's the last we see of them, but definitely just an early way to go out.
Well, something that has kind of gone under, swept under the mat, if you will, is two league leaders in interceptions.
Josh Allen and Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott. So two quarterbacks that were in the divisional round. I think they finished with 17 total, including the divisional round, including the playoffs. So that's something Bills fans should probably keep an eye on, because ball security is everything in this league. And with Josh Allen throwing 17 picks, that's not going to get the job done. The other game, Eagles, Giants, not much to talk about there. Giants get absolutely pummeled for felt like the third time by the Eagles. Eagles 38-7, just an absolute embarrassing performance by the Giants. Seemed like the spotlight was too big for them, and it seemed like the Eagles were on autopilot since the first quarter. I think it was 21-0 at the end of the first quarter. So thoughts on that game quickly, Kyle?
Yeah, they got up and stayed up. You know, I kind of fooled myself into thinking it would be a close game. Was kind of a believer in the Giants, picked them against the Vikings last week. They've kind of been good down the stretch. But yeah, the Eagles just have their number. Just too much firepower. They're just able to run the ball, do whatever they want, run it at will. And then when they need to throw it, they got two great wide receivers, a good tight end. So they're definitely a wagon. And next week versus the 49ers should be a great game.
Yeah, I was kind of bullish on the Giants as well, simply because I felt like the style of play matched up well. The Eagles' run defense hadn't been the strongest over the last half of the season after they had lost Jordan Davis, big guy out of big guy out of Georgia. They had lost him. They had brought in a few veterans, but the defense hadn't been the same in the run. And I thought Saquon Barkley, after a great game against the Vikings, was going to come in and actually be a difference maker for the Giants. That wasn't the case. I mean, you know, Giants and Jaguars pretty much the same boat this year with the situations. Obviously, Daniel Jones, a more seasoned quarterback, but within the coaching schemes, both quarterbacks kind of in a similar standing. You know, obviously the Jags look better against the Chiefs than the Giants did against the Eagles, but nonetheless, I think still a bright future for Brian Daboll and Daniel Jones. Get a few pieces there, a few wide receivers for him is what he needs. Daniel Jones does. So, but let's look ahead. We got some big games coming up on Sunday. Love that the golf tournament will be ending this week on Saturday, Wednesday start for the boys out in San Diego at Torrey Pines. But because of that, we get two nice games on Sunday in the conference championship, starting with the 49ers at Eagles Sunday at 3 p.m. In this one, Eagles favored by 2.5. Is that enough points, Kyle? Is that appropriately handicapped?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, this could be a pick 'em all the way up to minus, you know, maybe 5. And I could see the argument either way. I think giving them one possession at home, or one score, excuse me, is probably a safe handicap. I do think the Eagles cover. I think they probably win this game like 28-20, 28-17, somewhere in that ballpark. I guess I'll give my official pick as, and I'll write it down, I'll give my official pick as 30-20 Eagles. Okay. And I just think that, you know, both teams like to run it, and this is not taking anything away from Brock Purdy and what he's been able to do, but I think if the Eagles can stop CMC and make Purdy pass, like you mentioned, their pass defense is insane. They can get some pressure. Even if they get one or two interceptions, I don't know if Purdy's thrown an interception. Like, I forget the stat. I heard something that, like, he hasn't barely had any turnovers. So I think if they can get one or two interceptions, that might be enough to win the game. I'm going Eagles 30-20.
Yeah, you know, big play. Slay is going to be ready to feast on Brock Purdy with the 49ers. I tend to agree with you. Had the Eagles played the Giants any differently, I think I would have maybe leaned more towards the 49ers, but that was such a convincing win. It feels like that week rest, that week off of rest gave, you know, Jalen Hurts kind of a revitalized demeanor. His shoulder seems okay. The team seemed vamped up. Obviously, they were playing a divisional opponent, a team they hate, a team the fan base hates as well. But if they win that game 24-20 or, you know, even 28-20, whatever, I tend to lean 49ers. But the way they won, you cannot ignore 38-7 in this league, especially in the playoffs. I think Brock Purdy's inexperience finally catches up to the 49ers. Kyle Shanahan and Christian McCaffrey can only carry that offense so far. The defense, you got to give them credit, one of the best defenses in the league, only allowing 12 points to the Cowboys after the Cowboys put up over 30 points against the Bucks. Mm-hmm. You know, so props to that 49ers defense. I think the experience, though, with Jalen Hurts and Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown, Kenneth Gainwell is becoming a guy, Miles Sanders, Dallas guy. You have so many guys on that offense. And then it's backed up on the defense with Darius Slay, obviously a cornerstone of the secondary there for the Eagles. So I'm gonna go Eagles in this one as well, and I'm gonna be a little bit more conservative here, and I'm gonna go with 24-17 in this one in favor of the Eagles. I think the Niners defense is able to play tough, and keep the Eagles offense at bay, but ultimately I think the Eagles get the job done here. So Eagles making an appearance in the Super Bowl for the first time since, what was it, 2019? Did they make it? They 2017?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm bad with the years of the Super Bowl.
Well, it was the year the Jags could have played them, right? It would have been February of 2018.
Yeah, so that would have been 2018, 2017 season.
When Dougie P won it with the Eagles and Nick Foles there in Philadelphia. So a return trip to the Super Bowl in Scottsdale for the Eagles. And in the nightcap, the AFC Championship, and another matchup between the Bengals and Chiefs. Pretty sure last year the Bengals marched into Arrowhead in the divisional round, I want to say, won it against the Chiefs last year. Patrick Mahomes sent him packing, and the Bengals travel back into Kansas City on Sunday, the 6:30 game, up in the air as to what Patrick Mahomes' health status is. Bengals currently favored by 1.5 because of the injury, we all presume. But Kyle, what are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I am going to go Chiefs here. I get why the Bengals are favored, you know, with Patrick Mahomes' leg. I just think nothing's going to stop Patrick Mahomes from being ready for this game. So I think he came in against the Jaguars hurt. Obviously, the day or two after, the swelling is kind of going up. Your sock's off. You got to ice it, all that. But I think he's going to be ready to go. I hope he's ready to go. I am taking the Chiefs 27-24. I think the Bengals moving from underdogs to favorites is probably a gross overreaction from the public, trying to get value with the Bengals being underdogs. So I think sometimes when that happens, you got to kind of zag when everybody else zigs type of thing. So going to not think this over. Going to go Chiefs by a field goal here. Should be a close game. Like both teams, don't really care who wins, but we'll be picking the Chiefs.
Yeah, it was last year in the same spot, AFC Championship, Bengals at Chiefs. Bengals won 27-24 in overtime in that one in Kansas City. So what was the divisional round, Chiefs Bills, that was that high scoring game with the overtime rule change.
Okay, gotcha.
But the Chiefs went on to lose the next week. You know, I think part of Mahomes playing in that game against the Jags was adrenaline and being able to come back in. I think those types of injuries really start to set in 2 or 3 days after the injury. I don't think Patrick Mahomes is going to be as ready or healthy as some people believe. At least if he is playing, he's not going to be himself. Obviously, he still has the arm strength and the talent. But a lot of his game is predicated on his ability to get outside the pocket. I think the Bengals have a pretty ferocious front four. You know, we obviously saw in that wild card game against the Ravens, 91 Hendrickson, returning that touchdown. You know, they just have guys up front that are ferocious. I think the Bengals win this one and make a back-to-back trips to the Super Bowl. I'd even potentially take the Bengals if Mahomes was healthy. I just love what the Bengals are doing and how they played against the Bills, suffocated that Bills offense. You know, I think they have a lot of things going for them right now. And Joe Cool's just got the swag. He's got the chip on his shoulder. Everyone wants to talk about Mahomes and Allen and all these other guys. And he's just quietly in Cincinnati, Ohio, small market. I think they're going to get the job done. And I'm going to go 30-28 in this one. Bengals over the Chiefs. Last minute field goal from Evan McPherson potentially in this one, but we'll see. But Kyle, anything else from you before we call it a night here on the Pooji podcast?
No, should be another good championship weekend. I am making the trip to Philadelphia, so go Birds. I know this is a Jags podcast, but I do have to support the Birds. I will be getting some sort of Eagles shirt or jacket, so it is what it is. I'm not going to get my ass beat in Philadelphia by wearing a Jaguars jersey or anything like that.
I thought you were going to say I am going to get some protection going up there, but no, definitely support the Birds. I mean, hell, they're NFC. Doug Peterson, right? You can say you're supporting because of Doug Peterson.
I got a future on them from May. You know, got friends that are Eagles fans. You got a friend that's Eagles fans. So there's a lot of things going our way as far as the fandom's concerned that I don't feel bad rooting for them.
What was your future odds at? Plus 2,200 or something?
Plus 2,600.
Wow. Send that to Big Cat. He'll be jealous. Plus 2,600 future for you from May. And you have a future on Doug Peterson, coach of the year.
I do, but
he just won coach of the year.
Do they put those votes in before the playoff starts? Do they already know?
They do.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll see. I think as bad as Urban Meyer was last year and how we were the laughing stock of the league to make the playoffs should speak for something. I know that sometimes usually it's, you know, a team that is going to make a deep run in the playoffs, it seems, but I think turning that team around from a laughing stock to winning some big games hopefully speaks volumes to the voters.
Yeah. We'll see about that, but that's awesome. That's going to be fun for you up there in Philadelphia. It's going to be a fun weekend of NFL football again on Sunday with those two matchups to winner goes to the Super Bowl. So everything will be decided on Sunday to see who's representing the conferences. And fans out there listening, thank you for another great season of Jaguar content, being able to listen, being able to subscribe to us. We have grown rapidly over the last 4 months, and I've said it before, that's not because of what we do. It's because of your support and being here on the channel and helping us grow. Definitely stick around through the offseason. We're going to have a lot of fun Jaguars content monthly, whether it's free agency, the draft, big moves being made leading up into the preseason and training camp, of course. But also we'll have other episodes for you kind of surrounding different sporting events going on, whether it's golf, whether it's March Madness, other big sporting news that's happening in the world of sports that we all know and love. But just wanted to say a sincere thank you for another great season of listening to some Jaguar content here. But Kyle, appreciate you being here. Looking forward to some more episodes in the future. Next week, recapping the divisional rounds. It will be a quick episode for the listeners out there. And then we'll obviously get one out before the Super Bowl, have some fun with that one, maybe do some prop picks as well. But fans out there listening, thank you again. Go enjoy championship weekend. But whatever you do, go make this world a better place and take care.
How can I be the man when you're the man? How can I be the man when you're the man? How can I be the man when you're the man?